following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, how low are the prices at the men's store inside JCPenney? The lowest they'll ever be at the lowest prices of the season sale. Now through Saturday, Van Heusen, Izod, and Joe Joseph Abood dress shirts are only $19.99. Get St. John's Bay sweaters and Van Heusen No Iron sport shirts at $17.99. Dockers signature khakis are a record $29.99. And Hager pants, just $28.99. See everything on sale at jcp.com. New look, new day, who knew JCPenney? Some exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/16.
New voice messages.
Mike, it's Taylor, your favorite all-pro running back. Man, you missed my 46-yard TD run last night. Dinner with your wife is more important than the team? Whatever.
Yo, Mike, it's Buckner, the center for your hoops team. What's with you hitting the hardware store while I'm in a playoff game? Thanks a lot.
In sports, any second can be the second. Download game highlights, scores, and stats with the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. AT&T. Rethink possible.
Certain geographic author monthly charges and restrictions apply. Mobile broadband not available in all areas. See store for details.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith. Skip pass knocked away, Maritska. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Merrick.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Another full program, but just enough room for you. That's right. Two things I don't want people to forget about. Emailing us suggestions of what I should do if the Pittsburgh Steelers win the Super Bowl. We'll pick one. I'll do it if they win the Super Bowl. And don't forget, Daddy's 50-serve challenge is still in the works, people. I think it's coming up next week. We have scheduled some opportunities two or three times where we have an opportunity to do that, and I think we got things in the work. Have you been practicing, or are you just taking this for granted?
I've not picked up a volleyball in 8 years. Why would I pick up one now?
Okay. Again, Merritt will bring that up, kind of the discussion that we had a week ago after the Texas loss by Nebraska. Coming up, Paul Rose, head football coach, Iowa State, joins us next segment. Bottom of the hour, Chris Gatulak, TVG Network, joins us to talk about the Breeders' Cup and all that is in the world of horse racing going on at Churchill Downs. We expect to hear from Big Game James and his picks over the weekend. Probably a text to Daddy, but, you know, whatever. And Joe DeMail, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Is it Thursday already? Amazing. And Joe would love to hear from you. Your questions, email them to us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Any fantasy football question that you have for Joe or baseball, whatever, because we did have a baseball one last week as the season wrapped up. Love to hear from you. We'll pass your questions along to Joe in the last segment of the program today. But we are coming off a high school football playoff night where there were not a whole lot of surprises. There were a couple of teams that stepped up and either made the games closer than we thought. Congratulations. I mean, if you're going to lose by 28, Donovan Trumbull, whatever you did was right for the first half yesterday. And you just, we'd seen them. They're not big enough. St. Cecilia wins. But, hey, congratulations there. Congratulations to Loomis on an exciting win. Congratulations to Axtell on getting a lot better as the season progressed and playing without your starting quarterback again last night. It looked like Bryce Runge stepping in and taking a majority of the snaps. We learned some things last night. Sargent is even better than probably people think. To beat Pleasanton like they did last night, and Pleasanton is not that bad of a football team, like the score would indicate. Sargent's amazing. Pierce, amazing. Crofton, amazing. There's just some teams that I guess are bigger, more physical, and faster than other squads. And that's not always the case, but right now the power is not right here in our backyard, although Overton's still looking good. South Loop, hey, man, they looked impressive, sounded impressive yesterday as we listened to that on the way. So some good football teams are left in the state, obviously, as we head to the quarterfinals, and that St. Cecilia-Crofton matchup ought to be a dandy.
Yeah, it should be one of the great matchups coming up. And I'll tell you another matchup that people are looking forward to, Doug, is Eustace Farnham now meeting Sargent. People in South Central Nebraska that saw Eustace Farnham yesterday destroy Bertrand. Bertrand simply couldn't stop this team. If you don't rush enough people, they just stands back there and picks you apart. It's interesting because the coach's kid is a quarterback for Eustace Farnham. Of course, going against Tyke Koziel, who is the fullback for the Sargent team, that is Mike Koziel's son. It's pretty neat in the area. Snitzler's got a couple 3 boys coming up through the program. The coach of Centura, new coach, got some kids coming up, going to make them much better. All these coaches' kids that have been, they call them gym rats in basketball, but they've been around the football field with their dads since they were little boys, are coming up, and it's just fun to watch these teams, and they make the teams better around them. It should be a great round of the playoffs. It should be another great round tomorrow night for A and B, but then Tuesday should be another
and
great
six
round.
And six-man.
Oh, and six-man. I'm forgetting six-man, the scoring that goes with that. They can't get much more scoring than the Sargent team, though. These guys go up and down the field, and just when you think you maybe got the run game shut down, they pull an option pass back and zing it across the middle, and they are fast. And when I say fast, I'm talking like it doesn't matter with pads on or on the track. These kids are fast, and best of luck, Eustace Farnham. I want to see a great football game, and I hope it is a great football game. But many people think that Sargent has been the gateway to the West all year long, and we certainly, after seeing them, very, very much impressed.
And we want to give a big shout-out to one of our loyal listeners up in the area, to Postal Chuck, who's out there today. That's right. I like the nickname, by the way, Postal Chuck. Who is a postman. And, you know, back in the day, that probably wasn't the best thing to be called, Postal. But Postal Chuck, hey, thanks for listening on the program today. And let's tell you where these matchups are going to be next Tuesday night and the kickoff times. Here we go. Ogallala and Grand Island Central Catholic. Central Catholic had to battle in the opening round. They got beat on that next, really last play against Minden, and they're still alive in the playoffs now at 6-4. They beat Battle Creek in a high-scoring game, and then they beat Gothenburg yesterday, and I think a lot of people are surprised that Gothenburg got beat by Grand Island Central Catholic, because Gothenburg had a good football team. So Central Catholic at Ogallala, where Scott Rizak, their former coach, is the AD, so he's going to know something about these kids. 3:30 Central time. Pierce will be at St. Paul, 6 o'clock. Milford at Bishop Newman in Wahoo, 7. And Norfolk Catholic at Wahoo at 6 o'clock. In C2 in the East, Wilbur Claytonia will be at Aquinas Catholic in David City at 6:30. And Elwood Murdoch will be at Archbishop Bergen at 7 o'clock in Fremont. In the West half, Crofton and Hastings St. Cecilia will kick off at 4:30. And they're going to play it at Duncan Field. You want to get into that right now? No, let's wait. North Platte St. Pat's at Cambridge, also an evening game, 6:30 at Cambridge. In Class D1, in the West, Alma at Creighton, 3 o'clock. South Loop at Overton at 6 o'clock. And in the East, Bancroft Rosalie at Friend at 5. Osmond at West Point Central Catholic at 6. And in the D2, in the East, the game that probably everybody's going to be talking about in this quarterfinal round, Humphrey St. Francis at Howells, 7 o'clock. Giltner will be hosting Pawnee City Tuesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I can already tell you that game is going to be on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Sargent at Eustace Farnham, 6 o'clock. Mullen at Loomis will kick off at 6 p.m. I will go on it, and Daddy, I know you agree here. Tradition does not outweigh what the kids deserve. And, you know, whatever you want to say here, it is time for Hastings St. Cecilia or the Boosters or somebody. We need to quit playing at Duncan Field. All right? Whatever the tradition is of playing in the outfield. Now, a non-Blue Hawk, that's where we're coming from here. I get it. Blue Hawk Nation, they're going to perk up. They're... their hocks are going to, claws are going to come out.
Their little necks, ears.
Their necks are going to stand up and go, we're St. Cecilia, we're going to do what we want, and this is where it's going to be because this is the way it's always been. Now, we just had an election, and we voted Duncan Field the hell out, all right? This is the game that many people believe is for the state championship. Whether it is or not, so be it. Why not treat the game like it is a state championship game? Don't penalize the fans, and don't penalize the kids, and don't penalize the officials, and don't penalize the workers, and don't penalize the media who have to sit on a plank in the outfield in windy conditions at 40 mile an hour when you could play at a – you have Hastings College. You've played there before. It is a beautiful facility. They will let you play there. I'm sure we have to do something about a small check, which, again, there's something that should be worked out as well in the scheme of things. I don't know how UNK and Kearney High's numbers work back and forth, but then they dump in a pretty good AstroTurf field and work that out. There's a way to work this out, folks. I don't understand it. Nobody outside of Hastings and Hastings St. Cecilia understands it, and I would welcome your call or your email. We would welcome your call or email. 888-455-ESPN. All you have to stand on is tradition. It is not fair to anyone involved making kids play at Duncan Field.
I cannot believe you could not go, say, Zach Stirrup, for instance, and say, Zach, where would you rather play this game? At Duncan Field or at Hastings College? The tradition of the last 5 or 6 years or when he's been a kid, it doesn't go back to, well, my dad's friends that graduated in the 70s talked. No.
It's over.
It's over.
We've moved on.
They want to play in Hastings.
We've expanded Memorial Stadium. We've built new baseball stadiums. Duncan Field is a baseball field, and it should be treated as such. And it is a great baseball field, and it has a lot of tradition. And if you want, you know what? If you want to play one game of a year there, fine. If you want to do that, I mean, like they did at Rosenblatt this year, it's time to move on, okay? It's just, it borders on ridiculous. This isn't the 60s, the 40s, the 20s. The facilities are there. Use them.
There's a reason they're not using the polo grounds anymore. They've just had better things come along since then.
888-455-ESPN. Love to hear from you, Hastings. Love to hear from you. 888-455-3776. Those are your matchups, and if we're not going to hear from you, then so be it. I think that would mean most people are in agreement with us because, you know, only controversy seems to bring in all the calls and the emails. So there you go. High school volleyball, while we wait for Paul Rhodes of Iowa State. He's going to join us here in just a few minutes. The Class A districts were last night. Kearney won their first round match, but then an impossible situation. They went up against the St. Cecilia of Class A, Papillion-La Vista South. Papillion-La Vista South wins it in straight sets. They're the number one team in the state and the number four team in the country. And Grand Island at home got pushed last night, not by Omaha South, who they beat 25-4, 25-4, 25-5.
Say that again.
Omaha South scored 13 points in three games. Lincoln North Star beat Bellevue.
They can't
West.
Hit 50 in a row, Ed.
No. Grand Island defeated Lincoln North Star. Five sets. They were down 2-1, had to come back, and they won it 15-13 to the fifth. I know all these Grand Island schools want to make sure they're playing at home when the state tournament is there. Central Catholic is a lock with the wild card. Grand Island's in. Northwest should be okay as well, but their district final tonight as well.
Tom from Hastings on the Bruce Furniture fan line.
Tom, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. What do you think?
Well, what you don't know is we had checked St. Cecilia. I'm an assistant coach there, but we checked with Hastings College before the season, and the field is not available on Tuesday because of women's and men's soccer there.
Okay, there's a good point. Let me check here, Tom. Hold on. I got it here in my stack because the soccer team at Hastings College is playing. Let's see. Okay, well, there you go. That's why we don't know everything, Tony. Hastings men's soccer team will be playing at home on Tuesday.
So have you looked? You've looked down the road then for like the next round. If you would have a chance, you would play at Hastings College.
They might have a national game.
We've given them all the dates and to see if there's availability, and that's where we're at this point.
Tom, have you done this with the regular season as well?
No, we haven't, because Hastings High plays there.
Yeah.
And usually that's with conflicts.
Tom, I appreciate that. That was a point we didn't see. Thanks so much. Well, and you know, say what you want. This is not a shot at Hastings College, because their men are fourth in the country and they're unbeaten this year. They're doing a great job over there that very few people even know about. And they've been a power for a while, making the national tournament. I guess, what are you going to do? It is Hastings College, and yes, 10 times as many fans will be at a high school football game than at that college game. But it is their college, and it is their precedence, and that's too bad. They'll be taking on a team that they're going to destroy. And you can talk about moving it, but college, they got school. They don't want to be taken off at 10 in the morning. And I okay, so there you go. There you go. Now, St. Cecilia Crofton, they're playing at 4:30. I'm sure you could have played it at 2 in the afternoon and still had the soccer game at 7. I know there's ways around it, but at least this is a legitimate reason. Okay, so there you go. We're going to Tom, really appreciate that. I knew the soccer was going on because the men and the women are both the top seeds, but didn't realize that that Tuesday was it. We're going to take a break because Paul Rhodes, head football coach, Iowa State, joins us when we come back.
The Tri-City Storm has one sweet deal for you. On Friday, November 5th, when the Storm battle the Fargo Force, fans can get hot dogs, Coke, popcorn, cotton candy for only $1 each. It's all part of the Coca-Cola Family Feast. Fun just got more affordable with Coca-Cola and the Tri-City Storm. Plus, get to the game early as the first 500 fans will receive a free Storm baseball cap. It all happens Friday, November 5th. For tickets, call 308-338-8011 or visit stormhockey.com. Storm Hockey, presented by Viero.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Sick and tired of constantly hearing,
"We're bored!"
Big Apple Fun Center on 4th Street behind USA Steak Buffet in Kearney. Can change all that.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Mom.
Call 234-4545 or click BigAppleFunCenter.net. Big Apple, the core of your family entertainment. Big Apple's got bowling, billiards, indoor and outdoor miniature golf, go-karts, velocity, sand volleyball, video games, air hockey, snack bar. Big Apple Fun Center. Call 234-4545 or click BigAppleFunCenter.net.
12 teams.
Under center, drops back to throw.
Six divisions.
That's the wise thing.
One champion from each will be crowned Monday, November 22nd and Tuesday, November 23rd. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550. Again, brings you every state high school football championship game live from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. And click on ESPNSuperstation.com for all of the Platte River Radio Station broadcasts of the playoffs up until that time.
That's Fess, who busted off one man at the 15, down to the 10.
ESPNSuperstation.com.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures head up to 53 for a high. Northwest wind stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. Now we'll stay with a clear sky tonight as winds stay light and variable, the low at 22. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 45.
We're back on the Doug and Daddy Show as Iowa State Nebraska week continues. And Tony, this is no longer just a throwaway game, and we have seen that. And obviously last year, I think a lot of fans thought it was that way, and Paul Rhodes and the Clones came in down a quarterback, down a running back, but not down a defense, and they took care of Big Red. And then a couple of weeks ago, they proved that they're for real this year by going down to Austin and beating a Texas team that Nebraska couldn't take care of.
Doug, in the preseason, you go back, I didn't believe in the Iowa State Cyclones because I looked at their schedule and said there's no way this team can get through it. Well, they've gotten through it. Coach Rose joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, how have you gotten through this schedule?
Perseverance, that's for sure. It's been up and down with wins and losses. We won one, lost two, won two, and it's just gone back and forth to arrive at 5-4 right now. But I've got a lot of kids that trust in where this program is heading, and they come to work every day, and we've executed enough to find five victories.
Coach Paul Rhodes of Iowa State with us on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Coach, Politi is fairly emotional. You have shown some emotion after these big wins. But how fulfilling is it? Instead of just coming close, you guys are now starting to get over that hump, and you are seeing the results, and they're panning out in wins.
well, you're in it to win football games, and you know, we really work 365 days a year to get to these 12 Saturdays, and then hopefully what comes after that, and you don't invest that much time and effort and not get a chance to enjoy the victories when they finally do come. But we've got a lot of work left to do in our program, but we're proud to be doing it.
Coach, take us back to the win at Texas. That had to be special. Obviously, a lot of emotion. Tell a Nebraska fan what that's like, because, hell, we don't know.
Well, it was an ideal storm type of day. They just came off the victory in Lincoln, of course, and we're flat. It was an 11 a.m. kickoff, and it was one of those throwaway games that you talked about, and we came in and played really well, and we had just been drubbed and embarrassed and disappointed 2 weeks in a row against Utah and Oklahoma, and we were fed up with it, and the kids came to play, and they played all afternoon long.
Paul, what changed? Could you sense it in practice? Could you sense it in the pregame? I mean, it's hard to come back from a couple of drubbings like that.
Strange thing is, we practiced very well through all those games. The people a year ago like to point as our victory in Nebraska as being a huge turnaround, stepping stone, whatever you will, for our program. And I went back and I pointed to the losses against Kansas State, where they blocked an extra point with seconds to go, and then we threw in the end zone to try to beat Kansas in Lawrence and failed and got beat there by 5 points. And we practiced through those losses, and then we came out, we beat Baylor to gain a little confidence, and then went over to Lincoln and were able to upset Nebraska. Well, the same is true this year. I mean, we got drubbed, and we just kept working, and we just kept practicing, and we just kept believing, and then finally executed with success. And the whole name of the game is execution. We were ready to play last week against Kansas in the first half, but got outplayed for 30 minutes because we didn't run, throw, catch, tackle, and do the things you need to do to win football games.
Head coach at Iowa State, Paul Rhodes, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, one thing you've done awfully well all year is a turnover margin. You are ninth in the country with that. Is that something you coach and you stress every week in practice?
Ironically, we were talking about this morning, Tuesday morning, I meet with the coordinators, and over the course of going into the Kansas game, we were second in the country in takeaways since we've come here, and as you said, ninth this year in turnover margin, and we do nothing in practice to emphasize that. We don't do a turnover circuit. We don't do a strip drill. We don't do an interception pursuit or anything like that. When we get into scout teams, we talk about it, but we really don't do nothing from a physical practice standpoint to do that. We've been opportunistic, and Wally Burnham's defenses, if you go back, have always been that way.
Well, last weekend there was all kind of haunted houses around the country, especially here in Nebraska. But if you really want to scare the hell out of somebody, you just play last year's Nebraska game against Iowa State with all those turnovers. Coach, I know they're just not expected to give you the ball and do that again this year. So what are you going to have to do to get your second straight win over Big Red?
I told Wally 6 turnovers I thought was reasonable after last year's 8. But he didn't find it very funny, I don't think. Turnovers are going to be really big. In a game like this, when you're playing a top 10 team in the country, a team as good as Nebraska, and you're us and you're trying to survive, you got to win the turnover margin in a big way if you're going to have an opportunity to win. And it'll be true this Saturday. Whether we can do it or not will remain to be seen. But turnover margin will be huge. We've got to tackle well. I don't have any illusions that we can stop their running game, but we've got to control it a little bit, not allow them to get all the big plays that they're getting. They haven't spent a great deal of time in the red zone this year because they've had so many big play touchdowns, and we got to minimize that just the best we can.
Coach Taylor Martinez took a hit, has a sprained ankle, was held out of practice early in the week. Of course, the Nebraska camp saying they expect him to start, but if he doesn't, it's a whole different dynamic back there at quarterback if they play a Zach Lee or a Cody Green. Do you have to prepare for two different styles?
We don't believe so. We think it's the same offense, and don't think there'll be drastic changes. Even if Martinez is being projected as a starter, they're going to go forward with the offense and prepare in that direction. So we don't think there's a drastic change, and you got to stop the run game. You got to stop what they do, and yet at the same time still be sound, as they've proven by being able to throw for 300-plus yards also this year.
Coach, I'm sure you've been following all around Nebraska hit gates going on. The Big 12's out to get Nebraska. They suspend players every week. Gary Pinkel sent in another tape. What do you make of all this?
Well, in Ames, Iowa, and Stillwater, Oklahoma, and Norman, Oklahoma, every one of us think they're out to get us in the Big 12. You know, we lost a player in last year's game. They said he threw a punch and kicked him out of the game, and we lost him for the next first half against Texas A&M. This year, the emphasis is on these big hits and so forth. I know that the people in the conference office and all across the country that got tough decisions to make, the fact that they're trying to make it safe for our student athletes is a very positive thing, and we should probably put more emphasis on that.
Just another minute with Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, a special quarterback that you have in Austin Arnott. It looks like he is performing up to his capabilities and wants to do even better, and we knew that it was going to be the year the running back in the conference. Maybe your young man is getting overshadowed a little bit. How do you like the way Alexander Robinson has been working for you this year?
He's got a head of steam right now, and he was underachieving like our offense early in the season. But all of a sudden you turn around, he's got 700 and some yards through nine games, which isn't bad with the competition that we've played. You know, this is our fourth top 10 team that we've played this season, and I could tell you all kinds of things about the overall record of our opponent and so forth. So for A-Rob to have nursed a sprained ankle, to be at 700 and some yards, and to be hot, so to speak, at this point in the year, I'm very pleased with that, and the fact that our offense has put 28 points on the scoreboard the last 2 weeks.
Coach, as banged up as you were entering the game a year ago, are you that healthy this year?
I wouldn't say we're that healthy, but overall, we've been a pretty healthy football team. Our starting center did not play last week, and it'll be a stretch to get him back out there this week. They're going to try awfully hard, and he might have a chance. But overall, we've been pretty healthy as a football group, and certainly knock on wood.
Coach, it seems like Nebraska fans, they always travel well, but with the last tour through the Big 12, they're traveling even a little bit better. Any suggestions for the fans that are coming to Ames?
Wear red and support the Cyclone.
Coach, we appreciate you giving us some time. Always great to catch up with you. Best of luck and a chance to get bowl eligible this weekend for the Clones. Thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet, Coach. Always a pleasure. Paul Rhodes getting ready for Nebraska, the head football coach at Iowa State. One more win, they're bowl eligible. They'll get that. Right?
Yeah.
Not this weekend, but they'll get that.
No. I think once again, though, Doug, we're at the start of the season. I put it down. They've got Colorado at Colorado and Missouri. They've only got two games left on their schedule after Nebraska.
Yeah, they don't play after Thanksgiving.
You got to think that they at Colorado is a very, very winnable ball game.
That's going to be a big game. That's going to be a big game, yeah. Yikes.
And you get Missouri at home, so.
So they're going to be a 6-6 team again, aren't they?
You know, but
and they beat Texas, and they seem to be pretty good. Got routed though by Utah. People, got crushed by Oklahoma.
That Utah deal was really a snowball effect. Took
they were 17-17 or something. Had the lead in that
17-10, and then all the next score you saw was 38-17, and then it was 50 whatever to 17. So. By the way, you bring up Utah. Utah TCU is one of the marquee matchups this weekend. One of those teams is going to advance in that BCS
right here
picture.
On ESPN Radio.
Nice work on that. TCU about a 5-6 point favorite in that one.
Well, I can't wait because tomorrow it's our Pigskin Pick'em. Your chance to get a combo meal from Big Daly's Deli. I tried a new one again on Sunday. So good.
What's your favorite up there,
Daddy? See, I'm trying. I love turkey. So I try all those combinations. I've been getting on some pastrami lately, trying out the different bread. I haven't got all crazy with the different – I mean, they got so many sausages you can put on there. When Mike's there, he helped me make a combo one day. That's the best when the boss is there. And he suggests because he knows all the sandwiches and knows what mixture and what brings out the flavor and all that. I mean, seriously. Say, hey, I got an extra five here. Get Mike out of the back. I want to get me an even better sandwich. But tomorrow, Pigskin Pick'em, and then, of course, your chance if he can beat us. And, hell, we're on a heck of a streak here. We're on a heck of a streak on Pigskin Pick'em. But if you do beat us, you're in for the premier rental and purchase laptop computer.
Two
what
people.
What are we at, two so far? Yeah. They got to be dancing around. They
just
love
two.
It. Daddy, we've been talking about Hastings St. Cecilia not playing anymore at Duncan. A couple of emails to get to. Looks like John is fired off in Kearney.
Yeah, John, it said, due to Hawks have talons, not claws, you politically correct person, you.
Thank you, John. You're correct, talons.
Also, Ken has chimed in and says, as much as it pains me to say, I have to compliment Doug. The dude on coining a phrase during a recent volleyball game, he referred to a player as the backcourt assassin. Pretty cool, dude.
I'm here for Ken's entertainment.
Termination is still my favorite. I love to hear dude with the old termination.
Nebraska volleyball swept Kansas. You know Nebraska's played Kansas in volleyball 87 times?
Oh, no. Is it like 83 to 4?
You know how many times Kansas has won?
I was going to say 4.
No.
I don't know.
No.
2?
No.
Never?
Never.
No.
86-0-1. They played like a two-set tie back in 77.
Damn you, blind squirrel. Where are you?
Off to Texas Tech for another thumping on Saturday. Hastings volleyball, a winner last night over Middle Lutheran in 4 sets. They will be the 4th seed for the GPAC tournament and host Briarcliff next Tuesday. That's going on at Hastings College. Loper volleyball on the road this weekend. Basketball going on. Pretty busy time. And, hey, you know what, Daddy? NFL's right around the corner. Your picks are tomorrow. You know, if Brett Favre had opted for a good night's sleep years ago, he'd be in better shape with the league. In fact, studies show that a good night's sleep makes you happier, healthier, stronger, faster, better, and better looking. I guess if you get more sleep, you're more attractive to the opposite sex.
There seems to be a glow about
you. You sleep all the time.
And I've got that glow about me. I sleep pheromones, I call them.
I have not seen women attracted to you unless there's money involved.
In third world countries,
well,
yes.
See, apparently there's also a 71% better chance of coming out on top in your bowl pick'ems, and that's why Bruce Furniture is offering up Serta Sleeper mattresses fortified with vitamins, minerals, and $500 guarantee. But the one says if you can find the same Serta mattress for any less, Bruce Furniture will cough up $500 because they know it ain't going to happen. It's a good price. No add-ons, just a good night's sleep just right for you at Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, and Holdridge. Chris Katulak, TVG Network, Breeders' Cup Talk. When we come back, Joe DeMeo, send your questions in for our fantasy football at the end of the game, end of the show.
Right now, every time you buy something, anything with your Discover card, you automatically have a chance to win up to $1 million.
So if I buy these jeans, I could win $1 million?
Yep.
This stainless steel dishwasher?
Uh-huh.
This chocolate bar?
You bet.
This chocolate bar?
Didn't you just buy that?
It's my emergency chocolate.
Oh, gotcha. Remember, using your Discover card could make you a millionaire. Learn more at discover.com. It pays to discover. Visit discover.com/giveaway for alternate entry options.
This is the sound of a Yellow Book print ad working for Rincon Vista Veterinary Center.
Drop it.
Ching. And Yellow Book search engine marketing working for their business.
Next.
Ching. And a yellowbook.com online video ad running smoothly. The thing is, with Yellow Book's full spectrum of marketing tools, small businesses like Rincon Vista Veterinary Center can hear the sound of success. Yellow Book 360. Go beyond yellow. Call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook360.com today.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922.
Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures head up to 53 for a high. Northwest wind stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. Now we'll stay with a clear sky tonight as winds stay light and variable with a low at 22. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Coming up, a little Breeders' Cup talk, a little fantasy football talk, and Daddy, whatever the sport is. Now, I don't know if they've got the jockey gear over at Misco's, but, you know.
They can order it for
Red,
you.
Red could have been a jockey, don't you think?
Yeah, Red could have been. I think they could order it for you. Misco's, see them before the games begin. They carry brand name appeal. All the clothing, all the shoes, or apparel, Adidas, Mizuno, Nike, and more, plus 40 styles of Husker shirts, t-shirts, sweatshirts, women's, kids, men's. They've got it all. They also have the Ndamukong Suh jerseys waiting for you. College hoodies, 25% off. NFL hoodies, 25% off. Get your game on now. Misco Sports, the downtown Kearney Center. Call them before the games begin.
Well, the Breeders' Cup going on this weekend at world-famous Churchill Downs. And with the TVG Network, our friend Chris Katulak rejoins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, horse racing in November. We love it. What's going on?
Doug, Daddy, well, I've been poring over racing forms for the last couple of days trying to finalize some Breeders' Cup selections. But there's one race I really haven't looked at that hard because I don't need to. It's the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's the return of Zenyatta. In Breeders' Cup action, and I say she rolls over the boys just like she did last year in the Breeders' Cup. That's what's going on.
20-0 she would be if she can withstand this field of the boys. Compare her. Who is the next greatest horse to her, or who does she stand beside?
Oh, you know what? I was wishing you wouldn't ask me that question because I never get caught up into that sort of stuff. I can say this much, though. She deserves to be considered in the same breath of, I'll come right out and say it, the S word, Secretariat. The word that starts with C but sounds like an S, Citation, Seabiscuit, all of that sort of stuff, because she is that great. But I can't compare different generations to other horses. I won't. You know, I haven't seen all the races run in North America, so I can't compare that. And I'm not being, you know, smart mouth. I just, that's my response to everything. And what good does it do to say she's better than Secretariat or she's better than Citation? You know, I just don't get it. I'm not wired like that. But is she of that set of horses? By all means, I feel.
Chris Katulak.
And guys, let me say something more about Zenyatta because that is what's captivating all of this Breeders' Cup, and for good reason. Honestly, I don't care what she does in the Breeders' Cup Classic, where she finishes or whatever. For me, it's all about the trip getting there. As you mentioned at the top of the show, she's 19 for 19 lifetime. And even if she had not been undefeated in her season in this year, I believe she would have captivated as much attention as she has because if you've never seen her in person, you've really missed out on something. If you've seen what we've shown you on television, then good for you. It kind of gets the idea across. But her charisma, her character, just her Zenyatta herself is just so – it's so much of a treat to see her in person. By the way, she's a very good racehorse. Excuse me. And she rolls over a competition. That's pretty cool, too.
Chris Katulak, TVG Network, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. So kind of the last word on the Classic here, because we are so used to seeing upsets and some really big money payoffs during the Breeders' Cup. There's just there's no chance of an upset. And you think she'll go off at less than even money because 8-5 on the morning line?
I think she'll go off less than 8-5. I think she'll be closer to 6-5 or pretty close to even money just because of the favoritism that she has. There's so many people that have been excited about her. You know, she was on 60 Minutes last week. That's good. I wish it would have been 60 Minutes at the start of the year rather than the end of the year because, great, now she only has, you know, there's only a week left of publicity for her because it's very likely that, well, it,
she will conclude her campaign of racing after the Breeders' Cup Classic. As far as the Classic goes, I'm really not even looking to any horse to beat her because I think she'll win the race. Now, there are other races in the Breeders' Cup races, both Friday and Saturday, where I think there's strong possibilities for upsets.
Chris Kutulak joins us from the TVG Network here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, if you pick up a USA Today, they've got a big article on page 6C in there about going back to the dirt track where they've been at Santa Anita the last couple Breeders' Cup running on the synthetics track. Do you prefer one over the other?
I prefer horsemen that train their horses patiently so any racetrack, any surface they run over is safe for them. Personally, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me. I want one that is uniform, and that's been a little bit of a knock on the synthetic tracks, is they seem a little bit more quirky or unpredictable than a main track. For those that aren't associated with horse racing, these tracks are more than just dirt and sand. They're kind of alive. They can kind of take on a life of themselves depending on atmospheric and meteorologic conditions, you know, rain, weather, humidity, all of that sort of thing. And it seems like the synthetic tracks are a little bit more vulnerable to that unpredictable nature. But for me, dirt is fine. And let's go to the Zenyatta thing again. I don't think her racing on the majority of her races over synthetic surface did anything to move her game up ahead. It is a non-issue as far as I'm concerned about her ability. She could do what she's ever, you know, done on a main track, a traditional main track. That's not an issue for me whatsoever.
Is it unfortunate for horses that maybe don't see that surface, some of them take to it, others don't?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If that's where you're going with this question, for sure, because I hate it in that regard, because some horses might be just brilliant, and then all of a sudden they're forced to run over a surface that they're not typically running over, and it's like, huh, what? And because of all the tracks for the last 3 years or so in Southern California have been synthetic, it's been mandated by the California Horse Racing Board, well, then that has been a real curveball. However, Santa Anita this year is going back to a traditional main track. So, you know, they gave it a go, and it's not going to hold up. So the Breeders' Cup race is being run over synthetic surface was a bit of a twist, and you know, now we're going back to Churchill and it's back to the main track. So, you know, that's life. We've got all these little twists and turns down the road.
Chris Kutulak joining us on ESPN Radio's Doug and Daddy Show from the TVG Network. Of course, his roots go all the way back to Fodder Park in Grand Island, and he'll give us a couple of picks here for the Breeders' Cup in just a moment. But it seems like, and I would say we're more than casual racing fans, but it seems like everybody focuses so much on Saturday. There are a ton of races on Friday. Give me something exciting for tomorrow.
Okay, good. I'm glad you asked. And by the way, my roots do go back to Fauna Park. I heard your interview with Steve Sipple the other day. Good old Sip. You know, he used to be he had the horse racing beat, and I spent a few years in the press box with him. He's a good guy, and he really likes his horse racing. So tell him I said, hey, next time you talk to him.
Definitely. Sip is the man. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, okay, so on Saturday, they've got the Breeders' Cup Sprint, a 6-furlong race where the purse is $2 million. I like a 12-to-1 horse, number 12, Warrior's Reward. So that's easy, 12-to-1, number 12 in the fifth race, and that'll be on Saturday in the Breeders' Cup. There's going to be so much pace in the race, a lot of horses that just gun to the front. I'm looking for a horse to benefit from those speedballs when the pace backs up and they get tired. Then Warrior's Reward comes running late at the end. So that's my kind of price horse on Saturday. And on Friday, the day before, which is considered Ladies Day, and by the way, it's unfortunate that Goldakova is in the shadow of Zenyatta, because the two best horses in training in the world, or at least the top horses in training, are females, and they're going to race against the boys and not run on Friday, which is determined as Ladies Day. But instead, these ladies will race on Saturday against the boys. Goldakova comes back for an attempt to become the first horse to win the same Breeders' Cup race 3 years in a row. That's in the TVG Breeders' Cup Mile. Of course, Zenyatta then could usurp that by winning Breeders' Cup back-to-back years, and then that, in fact, would be her third Breeders' Cup victory as well. So Goldakova is definitely something to consider. All right, you want long shots. You want prices. How about in the seventh race on Friday, Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, 15-to-1 shot, the two-horse Sarah Louise. So that's tomorrow, Friday, race 7, number 2, Sarah Louise. I like her chances. She looks fresh and similar situation. There's plenty of pace in the race. I think she can roll, can come rolling late at the end. And how about this? John Sheriff can win a big race on Friday. Of course, John Sheriff is the trainer of Zenyatta. In the 9th race, the filly and mare Turf on Friday, tomorrow, the 6-horse Harmonious is sheep. I'm not saying she's the next Zenyatta, but she comes from the same barn as Zenyatta, and she settles back and rolls from off the pace and can crush her competition. And I like her chances quite a bit. She's 6-1, so that's the 9th race tomorrow, the 6-horse.
Chris, is there a hot trainer when it comes to Breeders' Cup time, somebody you can zero in on, usually gets a winner or winner two or three home?
I wouldn't say so. In fact, it's probably the other way. There are trainers that come in, and for years, like the late Bobby Frankel, he was vexed by the Breeders' Cup. He had such a difficult time winning his first one. The same can be said for Todd Pletcher. He finally did it a few years ago. Aidan O'Brien, who's an Englishman, who wins all of the Group 1 races in England or in Europe, he had so much trouble. So that's hard to go. They had a bet last year who would be the rider that would win the most Breeders' Cup races, and it was Julien Leperoux, a Frenchman, who is based here in the United States and has been for years. He won by a landslide. So there might be a better situation, maybe the hot rider as opposed to the hot trainer. But it's so difficult because it's such a big stage of the cream of the crop. It's hard for anybody to stand out.
Is it true, Tony, that after the Breeders' Cup last year, Julien went up to and said, Calvin Barrel?
That's a different movie.
Oh, different movie. Oh,
that's a way different movie.
Ricky Booby, you are my Calvin Barrel.
Hey, do you guys know I've actually been following Kearney Sports this fall because my niece plays on that UNK women's soccer team, you know, the one that they had last year for the first time ever in Kearney Sports history that I think went undefeated, and the one that same team this year that won a whole bunch of games, or at least significantly more than they did last year.
A lot better. So, a lot better.
Yeah, right. Jennifer Katulak, so keep your eyes peeled for her the next couple of years.
Oh, we'll do that. We'll hunt her down. We'll find her.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, so this is a selfish handicapping question on the Breeders' Cup. When you get so many foreign horses, you look at the form, you just don't see much there. How do you handicap? How do you kick those horses, either throwing them in or out if you're playing pick threes, pick fours?
It's a very good question that you ask there, because years ago I used to just kind of chuck them out because I thought, well, okay, if they're going to beat me, they're going to beat me, because it's hard to discern the handicapping form. But what we've seen in the last few years, the Euro horses have been heads and shoulders stronger than the North American-based turf runners. So the angle might be just the other way around. Use any horse that is a European-based horse. There's a horse by the name of Workforce who runs on Saturday that just won the Arc de Triomphe, which is considered the biggest race run in Europe for older horses. And because he won that race and because he's gone up against solid horses in that race, you know, the cream of the crop there, I'm just going to go ahead and pick him without giving too much consideration beyond that. It seems very simple. Maybe it seems very cavalier to do that. But the answer to your question is base it on the class of the races that they run in and the company that they face. It's a similar handicapping tool that you apply over here in North America. But the point is the European horses have been so much stronger in recent years. Now, here's the caveat. The story about the turf course in Kentucky is that it won't play into the European horses because Kentucky's been in a drought for months. They have not had the type of rainfall that they typically do. And so that turf course, although it has been watered regularly since going back to September, it is it's much firmer than normal, which is much more firm than what the Euros are accustomed to anyway. So that might be a situation where some of these European horses may not take to it. That could be a strong issue for them.
So many great races, so little time. I can't believe it's flown by already. The Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday at Churchill's Down. And, of course, Zenyatta trying to cap it off at the end on Saturday. Chris Katulak of the TVG Network, always appreciate your insight. And
we have to let him go already?
Yeah, I know.
Chris, who's the hottest jockey out there?
Well, Chantel Sutherland's pretty hot. I love that hair that she's got. She braids it up there. Is that what you're talking about?
There we go. Excellent, excellent, excellent work.
Actually, she rides up in Canada, so that's kind of a stretch to get up there. But she's the hottest one as far as I'm concerned. As far as the top, here are my three favorite riders in North America. The two are riding in Southern California, Rafael Bejarano and Joel Rosario. These guys are just incredible. Rafael is maybe 10 years older than Joel, but they're both very, they sit very quiet and they're very gentle on their horses. They kind of let the horses do their thing, a la Pat Day, if you can recall Pat Day when he was up and riding, how terrific he was. And then on the East Coast, Ramon Dominguez, who is he sits the horse a little differently. He's maybe a little bit more assertive or will push a horse a little bit, but then once the horse makes the lead, he never asks the horse to do anything more than what they need to. You know, he saves the horse for next time. So I like that a lot from him. So those are my three guys, Ramon Dominguez, Joel Rosario, Rafael Bejarano, but of course the hottest one is Chantel Sutherland.
I think we'll stay with that. That's what I'm going to go with. Hey, Chris, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the Breeders' Cup and hopefully some great picks for everybody out there.
Call anytime, guys, and enjoy the harvest season there. Or is it getting cold? It was 95 here yesterday.
That's not fair. It's been nice for November. The farmers love it.
Okay, beautiful.
Take care, Chris.
God bless the farmers.
Take care, buddy. Guys. Chris Katulak, TVG Network, Breeders' Cup. Head out to Fodder Park and enjoy it all. Joe DeMeo has been waiting patiently for us to grab him and talk about fantasy football and all that is at fantasyplayersedge.com. As usual, we've got some questions for Joe, but we do have room for maybe two or three more today, so if you want to email us here, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Joe, good morning.
Hey, lads. How you doing?
Well, we're making it through another day here, and we've got questions for you. And you know what? Marion Barber did kind of work out last week, but I lost to a guy that his whole team was full of buys. I was just a little disappointed. I just want you to know that. It has nothing to do with you. You gave me the right advice.
Yeah, it's an awful feeling, though, when you get beat by an unmanaged team. It happens to everybody in fantasy football sooner or later.
Well, let's go to the emails here. First up, we want to know Eli or Big Ben this week.
All right, Eli... has the Giants going up to Seattle. Seattle is, relatively on its heels right now. You saw what the Raiders did to him last week. Ben finds himself going against Cincy. Cincy's getting back all of their secondary. I would use Eli this week over Ben.
Russ wants to know, Cutler or Fitzpatrick?
Ouch. They're playing in the same game. I haven't checked the weather up in Buffalo yet. Forgive me for that, guys. Normally it makes... since they're both playing in the same game, I guess it doesn't matter. Buffalo's pass defense has been kind of awful. Doesn't look like they're going to get McGee back this week, who's their top cornerback. Go ahead and trust Cutler just one more time.
That is tough. That is tough. Joe, actually, I got a couple emails here that both have something to do with Chad Ochocinco. Let's start with George. He says, Joe, this is not a question just for week 9 but for the rest of the year. Would you please rank the following three wide receivers on how they'll do the rest of the year? Steve Breston, Ochocinco, and Michael Crabtree. He says, I know Crabtree has a bye week, but he's looking for the whole year. Crabtree, Ochocinco, Breston. How do you rate him?
I would still rank Ochocinco at the top of that list. He still has the ability to get into the end zone. Terrell Owens obviously has had more targets than Ochocinco this year, but when Chad's been targeted, he's done a decent job. You cannot like him this week, though, against Pittsburgh. Crabtree, I would rank second. I would rank Steve Preston last.
Joe, what do you do with Brett Favre now?
You hope that he doesn't expose himself during, Monday Night Football game. That's all you can do with him. I've had it with Brett Favre. I'm tired of the pity he needs. Lying in a cart in the fetal position, being taken off the field, and everything else that's gone on this season. However, as it pertains to fantasy, without Randy Moss, his value is truly mitigated. Percy Harvin's going to suffer. It was just a kind of a knee-jerk reaction by Minnesota. They're not a better team without him. They might be better in the locker room, but they're not better on the field. I think Brett's going to suffer the rest of the season. He's already had a kind of an off year. The only saving grace, guys, might be that Sidney Rice gets back into action in a week or two, and Brett Favre and Sidney Rice had terrific chemistry last year.
So I guess following up on that, we've got a couple more questions. What do you do with Randy Moss?
Well, he's in Tennessee now, and you're playing as you normally would. You're playing as a, you know, WR1, WR2. There's no reason to downgrade him to sit just because he's playing in Tennessee. He's still going to be the lead dog there with Kenny Britdown. I believe Vince Young can reach him. I think he's got enough arm to reach him. And Randy might see a bunch of single coverage because they do have to pay attention to Chris Johnson. No two ways about it.
Joe, how long is Britt out for? Do you know that?
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, it looks like. It looks like he's going to be down for a while. And I've seen a lot of speculation. Might be back in 4 or 5. I would assume 6 to 8 with that type of injury.
This comes from Eric. He says, "Hey, Joe, I got a decision to make, and I think we already know the answer, but we'll pass it along to you. Who should I start this week, Chad Ochocinco or Joshua Cribbs?" He says, "My wide receiver core consists of Breston, Brandon Lloyd, Calvin Johnson, and Danny Amendola. Should I just dump Ochocinco?"
I wouldn't dump him. I don't think that's the correct call. I assume the problem is Brandon Lloyd is on bye this week. But you got a pretty solid receiving core, and if Ochocinco is your wide receiver 3, you're in pretty good shape. He's not going to be intimidated by the Steelers. He's a tough guy. The only way you can move the ball against Pittsburgh, you saw what Drew Brees did last week, was in the air. You don't really care about interceptions. You're not playing Carson Palmer. Go ahead and start Ochocinco and hope for 60 yards and maybe a little Sunday in the end zone. But even if he gives you 60, 70 yards, it's not bad for WR3 going against the Steelers in Week 9.
Joe, where does Peyton Hillis fall in your rank of running backs?
Yeah, I love the guy. I have him just outside of the top 10. I think he's a terrific guy to have on your roster. Certainly has been a comforting bye-week replacement. He's healthy now. Reports out of Cleveland. He's not even on the injury report. He is sound again. He is a battering ram, and with Colt McCoy at quarterback, he's going to be seeing balls out of the backfield as well. He is a nice guy to have in your roster. We love him.
Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com with us for another couple minutes. Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox here. Hey, guys, this comes from Jordan. He says, "Joe, Donald Brown or Steve Breston as my flex player this week?"
Oh, Donald Brown is active. Make it Donald Brown. Looks like Mike Hart's going to be out. Doesn't look like Joseph Addai is going to make it, which means James is the backup. Donald Brown could easily get 18 to 22 touches. He's got to be your play this week if he's active.
Joe, Tim wants to know, what do you do with Michael Bush?
Tim, you got to hold on to him. If McFadden has had his moments, if McFadden goes down, Michael Bush again becomes a viable RB2 flex play. Unless you're desperate for that roster spot, and if you are, then just cut him. If you can afford to hang on to him, hang on to him and see if things don't change in Oakland via injury, because he's not going to get the job back from McFadden, who's been a top 3 running back all season.
Hey, Joe, here's one for you. Touchdown-only league. Patrick Creighton, who hasn't scored one all year, or Lewis Murphy from Oakland, who's still questionable?
You got to go with Creighton. They're going against the Houston Texans. It doesn't look like Antonio Gates with plantar fasciitis is going to make it to the dance. Phillip Rivers, by the way, guys, has been amazing. He is the top-ranked quarterback above all other quarterbacks in fantasy football at the moment in standard scoring systems, 4 points for TD, 25 yards for a point. He's been amazing with tools that have been unusual all season long. You have to play Patrick Creighton this week in that environment against the Texans.
Joe, what's Matt Schaub? What's he got to do? He just needs in a slump right now, or what's going on there?
He looked confused, and he looked unsure of himself.
Exactly.
Against the Colts in the first half, and in the second half, I thought he started to play more like Matt Schaub, and took the check downs. Arian Foster's a nice guy to get the ball in his hands out of the backfield. Had a deep ball to Andre Johnson. Kevin Walter has been almost relegated to nothing. It looked like Schaub couldn't even reach him against the Colts in the first half. It was a very, very odd game to watch, and Schaub played just well enough to probably get some of his owners across the finish line. We still have to like him. He still led the league in yards last year. We think the advent of Arian Foster has taken some of the yards away, and why not? He's the top rusher in fantasy football, top scorer, running back in fantasy football standard format. But Schaub still has the skill sets. Andre Johnson, as long as he's out there. Owen Daniels has been a disappointment. I think Schaub is going to rely a little bit more on Arian Foster out of the backfield like he did against the Colts, and that could be good for both of those players.
Well, I thought, you know, getting Owen Daniels back to full strength last week, you know, getting Jacoby Jones has kind of negated what Kevin Walters has done, but I really liked the guy going into the year, and right now he's just been almost non-existent, it seems like.
Well, you and me both. I thought Schaub was going to have I rated him a top five QB this year, and obviously he hasn't played anywhere near that level.
And finally, I think this is the last question we've got out here. This comes from Tim in Hastings. What do you do with Reggie Bush? I assume he means do you finally cut loose? It sounded like maybe a week ago he was going to be back. Now it sounds like he's going to be out for the foreseeable future.
Well, if he's held him this long, he's got a bye next week and be back in week 11. So, again, it goes back to that. Can you afford to put him on your roster? I don't know if you just picked him up off waiver wires, but the reason you picked him up in week 8 or 9 is the same reason you'll be, you know, looking to use him in week 11. If you've gone this far, bye weeks are over next week. If you don't have a pressing need for a roster spot, sit tight. Otherwise, put him back where you found him.
Joe, you sit tight in Florida, enjoy the weather, and keep being the best that you are. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, thanks as always for the time.
You guys are great. Good luck with your fantasy teams this week. Anything you need, I'll be on the internet all weekend. Take good care.
Thanks, Joe. Joe gets right back to you. FantasyPlayersEdge.com. If you've got a question over the weekend.
They send you an email, so you don't have to sit there and watch for it. Boom, the email comes back to you, tells you the whole deal.
It's been answered. I shot one off to Joe last week once they put D'Angelo Williams out. You know, what do you do? And he came back, and his advice was right. So there you go. Don't forget all of the callers on the Doug and Daddy Show, fed by the fine folks at Burger King. Don't forget that Xbox 360 Kinect has arrived. They're giving away a complete game system every 15 minutes all month long. So you can't win if you don't play. And free coffee Friday at Burger King. Stop in and try Seattle's best coffee. Free coffee every Friday morning in November. We're back with more to wrap things up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike Greenberg, and I want to make sure you're aware of a new, better way to have business meetings. The old way, you needed to be on the phone, or you needed to be looking face-to-face with another person. But the new, better way, you can meet clients and colleagues online with GoToMeeting. It's like meeting in person, but it takes less time, and it's much less expensive. You start your meeting with just a click. Everyone can see your computer desktop on their computer screen, so they can follow along as you move from page to page. Use GoToMeeting to host a sales presentation, product demo, or training session. And with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, you can host as many meetings as you want for one low flat rate. I've seen this thing. It's unbelievable, and here's how you can get it. For our listeners only, you can try GoToMeeting absolutely free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free, and here's how you do it. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Mike. That's GoToMeeting.com. Try it free, and don't forget the promo code Mike.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
The Big Apple Sports Bar is the only name you need to remember for Husker games. With this huge 7-foot by 13-foot HD projection screen TV and all the other 60-inch plasmas, you won't miss a play. So get to the Big Apple and enjoy the Husker life, like without the traffic and paying for parking. Enjoy great pizza and drink specials, or order off the menu. The Big Apple Sports Bar, the only name you need to remember for Husker games.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures head up to 53 for a high. Northwest wind stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. Now we'll stay with a clear sky tonight as winds stay light and variable with a low at 22. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 45.
This deal's becoming out of hand. I didn't mean to create a monster.
This is how it all started. Nebraska did not serve the ball well last night against Texas.
I don't understand. Even at the high school level, I cringe when somebody hits it into the net. I can hit 50 of them in a row.
I think I will take the bet. Daddy could not serve 50 straight volleyballs inbounds regulation court.
It's a 40 by 40 square.
I'm waiting for the invitation for Daddy.
Yeah, I'll come to your school and hit 50 of them in a row in.
I have heard from Kearney Catholic coach Chris Connor. She says, Daddy is invited for the serving demonstration. One rule, no spandex. Visions of Daddy in volleyball tights may forever haunt me now.
I haven't had a volleyball in my hands in 10 years. I can do it today.
I'm lining it up. Chris, we're coming to Kearney Catholic next week, and we're doing this.
Let's get an opinion from an NSAA referee, Ben.
I've got faith in you, Daddy. I've seen a girl, seventh grader, do 75.
Again, the bet. Daddy can serve 50 volleyballs in a row. Oh, yeah, we're doing it on the air. I'm getting a hold of Dave and the gang out there and Eric at NTV. Ed, come over from Channel 5. I want film documentation of this massive failure.
Who will get the last laugh, Doug?
This is good stuff.
Or Big Daddy.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you what. I've also been in contact with the number one prep sports editor in the state of Nebraska, Stu Pospisil, is efforting to be here for this venture as well. We've talked to some of the national media, possibly Kenny Mayne.
That would be the main event.
Will be here. It is not 100% official, but Daddy, clear your calendar for next Wednesday night. I'm telling you right now.
Tonight? I thought we were doing it on the air.
We're going to do it on Wednesday night because that is the way it works.
Okay.
And then we will bring the results Thursday. Kind of like Mike and Mike when they did their back and forth. They did it after the show, and that's what we're going to do. So clear next Wednesday night in your schedule.
It may not last all that long, folks. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, are you not so confident right now?
I don't know. We've got one buddy that says I won't make 10.
I'll tell you what. We will start. I'll tell you what. We'll get a hold of Mike Perenio. We'll have him handicap this for us. We'll be getting a hold. We forgot to ask Kelsey Peterson yesterday when we had her on the show if she had any advice for her, and that was my bad. But we will continue to find some folks that have some advice for you next week. So prepare Wednesday night. Big Daddy serving 50 in a row. We'll give you time, sites, details next week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So I would suggest, while you're doing nothing, practice. Nebraska has another commitment for the football team. Corner Charles Jackson. Nebraska never gets the number one, and they're all fired up when they get the eighth best corner in the nation. But I think they're pretty fired up. He could be number one. He is a Charles Jackson out of Klein, Texas, a four-star talent by Rivals.com. So he is the latest to come to the University of Nebraska. Mike Foltz, who's in the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, has stepped down as the head football coach at Lincoln High after 5 years. I'm sure it's frustrating. All the Class C and D volleyball districts are still to go tonight, Class D and some B around the state. I'll be at Elm Creek for Axtell Bertrand. I know we'll see you there as well, rooting on the alma mater tonight, Daddy. Classic hits 98.9. That gets underway at 7 o'clock. Also tonight, Loomis and Ansley will be playing at Amherst. We want to thank Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes, and Chris Katulak of the TVG Network for joining us today. A whole lot more tomorrow.
We'll see you at 23 hours now, Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!